Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine and Broadcast, where visitors and those on the rise come together to make a fantastic impact. And today I am really, really excited because I have with me Quinn Barrett. Quinn is a native of Southern California, currently residing in West Los Angeles. And after graduating from UCLA with a degree in English, she worked as a corporate business development strategist, specializing in emerging growth technology, software, and internet companies. She's married and raising a teenage son, and she has created a great first novel, Invisible Snow, and also she's the author of Digital Publishing Profits, 10 Strategies to Positively Impact Your Bottom Line, Marketing and Selling eBooks. And she is also co-founder of Wise Bear Digital Book Awards. So I'm just thrilled to have you here today, Quinn. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started writing books, because I know originally your background was pretty much wrapped up in the world of technology.
Well, I've always had a tremendous love for books since I was a young girl, and you know, it was a way to escape from what I call a high-maintenance organization, my family. And so I also was always told by teachers that I had a vivid imagination and that I had some pretty, you know, decent innate writing skills. So that is kind of what encouraged me to kind of follow that in college. It was something that I was good at, that I enjoyed doing, even though, you know, people look at you crazy, you know, like you're going to be an English major, you're going to teach, what are you going to do with that? But when I graduated from college, it was, you know, the dot-com boom was right around the corner, and I happened to fall into a corporate path that led me to be around a lot of, you know, early starting technology companies. And so I kind of took that and I kind of ran with it, and I really enjoyed doing that, and I enjoyed the business aspects of that. But, you know, even in that part of my career, I was doing a lot of writing, whether it was, you know, copywriting or, you know, stuff for marketing, you know, technology stuff. But I always knew that at some point I would come back to this idea of writing a book. And I actually did make a couple attempts years ago at writing a couple nonfiction manuscripts, but they weren't really very good. And so I eventually found my voice through fiction at the advice of a client who was a best-selling author back in the 80s and 90s. And I fell in love, and, you know, this is something I really want to do the rest of my life, but I'm just passionate about the whole business of books.
Well, tell me a little bit, Quinn, about the difference between approaching the creation of a fiction versus nonfiction book. Was it a real different process for you?
Well, I found it was more of an opening. What was suggested to me is maybe one of the reasons I was having a hard time writing the nonfiction, you know, books, which were based on some of my corporate business experiences, is that I had a little bit of a fear because, you know, people would then know that I was telling the truth. And so what was suggested to me is that if I were to say it through characters, and really at the bottom line, what are the messages I want to convey, not necessarily the specifics of, you know, what happened in a, you know, in a job setting, that I might find a voice doing it that way. And so I kind of, you know, that kind of shifted some thinking in me. And so I went back and I started thinking about, well, what is it, you know, if my book is my voice in the world, what is it at the end of the day that I want to say through this particular book? And I sat down and I started kind of writing out some ideas and started developing a character that was not really me or you know, a coworker or something, but somebody that I thought could best embody what it is at the end of the book I wanted to really deliver, the message I wanted to deliver. And it was really funny that the character really kind of started taking on its own persona, and it really began to speak to me in a way, and I was very satisfied with the end result, that I was able to say it without and put some and infuse some fun into it as well. So I had not expected that type of experience, and it was just addictive to me. Now, after doing that, I've been able to go back and write digital publishing profits, and I realize that I've been able to use the experience from being writing a novel into basically, I don't think you're going to be successful whether you write fiction or nonfiction unless you're willing to put it all out there. So once you can get past your fear of what people are going to think, you can be a successful writer, and I really believe that.
Oh, that's fantastic. And good news for those out there who are still kind of hesitant in getting into their first book and making it a reality. So tell me, because you are an expert in this arena of digital publishing and how to make profits doing it, tell us a little bit about how you feel. I know you really feel selling books is a business. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, it's really interesting that getting involved in creating Wise Bear Inc., which has Wise Bear Media, Wise Bear Books, and eventually I hope to create a Wise Bear, you know, educational website around that, it's the convergence of the three things I'm most passionate about: books, technology, and business. So it's a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm for me. Remind me what the question was again. I got caught up in my enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. That's always a wonderful thing. No, tell us a little bit about selling books the business approach to books as opposed to just the you know, enthusiasm and the inspiration.
Well, once I wrote my novel and I had to make some decisions, am I going to have somebody help me? Am I going to do it myself? I realized that I had a skill set that was going to enable me to kind of move books in a way that maybe others couldn't do on their own. You know, I know how to do the email marketing. I know how to use social media. I know how to do these type of things. So I decided that I was going to really sit down and kind of work out my own kind of quasi-business plan. Not a real business plan, but kind of an action item list. And I went and I saw what successful authors were doing. And I think the biggest thing, the biggest mistake that I think other authors make is they try and you know, mimic and do what everybody else is doing. Every really great author will tell you that if you want to know how to write, if you want to know how to market, you got to figure it out yourself. It's because what works for one author doesn't necessarily work for you. And so there are certain things that you can do, but the experience of how you get the interviews, how you, who you connect with, is all unique and individual. So what I did is I kept having people come to me, and they could see that I was getting some success with my novel and getting some buzz going and stuff. So people kept coming to me and saying, well, how did you do it? And I finally got to the point of saying, well, I'm tired of having this conversation over and over again, so I wrote Digital Publishing Profits, which is 10 steps that I took, the way that I did it, and the way that I shifted, you know, my thought process so that I could, you know, really build that business of selling the book, which is independent from Wise Bear Books and independent of Wise Bear Media and independent of my other busy life technology. Selling the book is a completely separate thing. And so if you're not going to be willing to kind of put it out there, if you're not going to be willing to take the steps necessary to do that, you're going to have a hard time selling book, because the only thing that really distinguishes, you know, somebody from being an author versus being a best-selling author, and even just an author who sells books, is sales. You know, and sales is not an easy thing. It does require that you put effort into it every single day. And so these are the 10 strategies that I've used. So I'm not saying that this is the definitive source of what if you do this, it's going to work for you. What I am saying is that if you don't do anything, you're not going to sell books. And this is what has worked for me. This has worked for other people that I know. And there's just some practical things, like, for instance, you know, I close out the book by saying, you know, you can't sell products online without a list. If you're going to work in the digital world, you've got to develop a list of some sort. And it can't just be friends and family. And how we do that, I discuss in the book, of other ways to build lists, that it's not, you know, Internet Marketing 101. But we all have lists available to us, and we just don't realize it. And so I go into that chapter to explain this idea of, you know, connecting with other authors and, you know, working in a collective manner. So that's just, I mean, one quick little snippet.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are there a couple other points that you make in your book that you think are really, really vital? I know that they all are equally as important, and people really have to get the book and read it to be able to glean all of the information. But are there a couple other points that you'd like to maybe dwell on that are really important for those starting out?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, some of them are more obvious, like, you know, the marketing issues or, you know, I go into a lot of information about, you know, your website presence. I call it owning your own virtual real estate and what your online presence should look like, because, you know, that gets overlooked a lot, or people throw up a, you know, a page on blogger.com and call it a website. You know, you have to create a user experience for people. You want a site that looks inviting, and if you need help getting that done, you know, you need to do that. So I have a chapter that I called Don't Step Over Dollars to Pinch Pennies. Sometimes we think by doing everything ourselves, we're saving money, but not at the expense if you aren't creating a good user experience. And that's very, very important. So if you don't know what you're doing formatting your book, which unfortunately there are a lot of people out there who still feel like throwing, you know, a Word, you know, doc up on Kindle and calling it an e-book, that's not going to create a good user experience. It's not going to make people want to read your book. The whole benefit of having an e-reader is that you can, you know, bookmark and copy things and, you know, highlight. You have a, you know, a reader down at the bottom that tells you exactly where you are in the book. It's a different experience than reading a printed book where you just put a bookmark in, and it's supposed to be, because otherwise we should just use regular books. And if you're not doing that, then it becomes a point of frustration. So it's important to do it right and to create that. That's you know, web design 101. If you don't have a good user experience, people aren't going to come back to your site. If you don't create a good digital book, people aren't going to buy more of your books online. And that is really where the business is moving. And then I also talk about, this is one of my favorite things to talk about, is your name is your brand. You have to be marketing your name as much or more than your book, because you're going to only write that book once, but you're going to write many books, and they're all going to have your name on it. So you could probably name a lot of John Grisham books, but when, you know, John Grisham, or when Michael Crichton was still with us and writing books, you know, just the name, the power of that name, it's like, oh, he's come out with another book. I've liked most of his books. I think I might buy that book again. That's what we want for ourselves, too. So when you plan your marketing strategy, it's not really about, you know, ego. It's about practicality. If you know, as you plan your marketing strategy, you want to remember to put your name everywhere. It's essential for readers to remember you. It's not as important why they remember you, only that they do remember you at first. And eventually, as you build your body of work, which feeds into my other favorite chapter, and that is, if you want to sell more books, you got to write more books. I always think, no matter how long a book is out, you can always continue to market it, and that's what's great. Books have no expiration date. They have no shelf life. There are best-selling authors from 20 years ago that are republishing their books as digital works and finding a new audience, and that's wonderful. But, you know, for those of us who are in the independent community who've maybe written one or two books, you really have to be producing books, and there's no you aren't hampered by the publishing cycles anymore. You know, if you're good enough, if you're a prolific writer, you can put out a book or two every year, and that would be a good thing to do to find your, you know, for your audience to find you. But it's hard to find people when you only have one book and you're only talking about that one book. Write another book and talk about both of them. Write a third book and talk about all three of those, you know, and that's why, even though Invisible Snow came out in 2011, I still talk about it. It's still finding an audience, and it's fun.
Yeah, it really is. And nothing brings the credibility to you so quickly, I think, as a book and being a published author, and even better yet, being a best-selling published author. It's really quite an incredible experience. So tell me a little bit about your passion for writing and, you know, exactly what that means to you. What inspires you to write?
Well, as I said earlier, I like a lot of people, you know, feel like we live in a really chaotic world, and you know, sometimes I wish I could just scream at the top of my lungs, you know, what I think would solve the world's problems, although I'm sure I don't really know what will solve things. But I do feel like, for me, a lot of my writing is focused on a lot of taking personal responsibility for your life. I'm drawn to books that are about family dynamics. I kind of jokingly say, you know, I survived my crappy upbringing, and now I get to write about it and other seemingly, you know, perfect chaotic, you know, catastrophes. And so I feel like, for me, writing is my voice in the world. And I think we can all do our part. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're all called to writing, because I do believe writing is a calling. And I don't think that everybody, you know, in doing my digital book award, what I have found is that there's a real interesting difference between people who write nonfiction versus fiction. And I think fiction writers are, it's really more or less, it's like you have to do it. You know, it's like if I go too many days, it's like for me an exercise. It's like if I don't walk regularly, walking for me is not really about weight loss or anything like that. It's mental health for me. And that's how I feel about writing. If I go too many days and I'm too much in the business of running, you know, Wise Bear Books, and I'm not doing my own work, I feel it. And so it's really important to me to that's just going to be a part of the rest of my life, a regular routine. And some of it you write for yourself, and some of it you write for publication at some point. But I have found that writing fiction for me was easier once I got past the fear of what people would think. And what I read from other contestants and what my team is telling me, the same thing, is that there's a tangible feeling and difference in reading and evaluating nonfiction versus fiction. And I think that with fiction, like when I wrote Digital Publishing Profits, it's just like, you know what? It was easier to write. I didn't have to be as introspective and stuff. It was like, this is my favor to the world, and I'm just going to put it out there very quickly, and you know, you're welcome if you got something out of it. But writing fiction is really more interpersonal. So if people love it, it means so much more to me. I've gotten some very good feedback already. In fact, I have the foreword of Digital Publishing Profits by somebody I consider to be one of the foremost authorities in social media marketing, Kate Buck Jr. She has a huge following online. And that was really wonderful to get that forward by her. But the feedback I got from Invisible Snow, it's something I'll always hold close to my heart. So one is more emotion-based, and one is more, pragmatic, cerebral.
Mm. And very interesting. And not everyone have the opportunity or the inclination to take on the challenge of doing both like you have, which is really, really wonderful. So tell me a little bit about the book awards and how that came about and where you're at with that, because I find this just fascinating. I love that you're doing this thing.
Well, it actually happened because I have a blog talk radio show, Wise Bear Books, All Things Digital Media, my business partner and I get on there and we talk about, the latest in digital media news, but I also do some author interviews. And I had several guests on and they had talked about, you know, being award winners and stuff and being fairly didn't know a lot about it. I knew they existed, and I thought most of them were kind of based in the literary community and, you know, through academic institutions and stuff. And I began to realize that there are a few competitions out there that were are for more of the independent author, and started looking into it for myself. And I wanted to, because, you know, I'm an advocate for digital publishing and media, I was trying to find somebody who would accept a digital book. And at first, I couldn't find anybody who would. And then I did find a couple small competitions, and it was only one aspect of it, and they were limited as to how many digital books they would accept, because I think they were afraid of being deluged with, you know, so many books versus, you know, somebody having to mail it in. You know, if you have to take the time to write everything out, mail it in and stuff like that, it's, you're serious. And, you know, it's there's a cost involved, and, you know, and I felt that this was something that, oh, I can do this because, you know, I have the technological background. I've run and started many businesses, and I love books, and I love reading books, and I love, you know, and I'm very passionate about the independent community. So once again, it was that perfect storm where I thought, huh, let me just start, you know, thinking about this. And so I was still considering, well, you know, what should I do about my own? And I said, and I just felt so pulled to do this, that I started, you know, working with my team to kind of start developing a website. You know, how can we do this process online so it's streamlined? All the information's there. You want to sign up, you know, fill out the form. The payment's right there. I don't have to wait for a check. I don't have to wait for books to come in. Boom, it's all right there. All my database is digitized and stuff, so I can see what's happening. We track when the book is assigned. Everything is done through our online database of information and stuff. And along with that, we also offer a book review. I figure, you know, we're reading all the darn things. We might as well, you know, because there's a big gap when you do a book competition. Ours goes from September through the end of April, and then we need some time to kind of figure everything out. And, you know, we're just doing things. We're trying to show the power of the digital media, that there doesn't have to be a lot of paperwork involved. There's still time to read it and evaluate and do and correspond with the contestants and stuff. And we run our contest kind of like what Kirkus Review does, which, you know, I think does a really wonderful job of showcasing authors. And that is, you know, once we read it and we give our evaluation and stuff, we submit it. If it turns out that it's not really, you know, what they're hoping for, it will never see the light of day, because our job is not really to, I don't ever want to, you know, do a hatchet job on anybody, because I think it's a great accomplishment no matter what you do to write a book. And so if it's something that we feel needs to be worked on, then they can go back and do what they need to do, and I don't feel like it's our job to crap on anybody. It's hard to be so blunt. But I do think there's some people out there who enjoy doing that, and I don't agree with that at all. I don't like that. So I think we're supposed to build authors up and encourage them. But that said, that doesn't mean that we give all good reviews. If we don't like it, we're going to be honest about it. And what I generally find, though, I really haven't found any books I don't like. I just have found some books that are better than others. So we are really enjoying doing this. It's like I said, it's an entire team effort. We bring in, you know, people when we need to help us. But, you know, it's really a pleasure to do. And I have to say that I'm really, really impressed with the quality and caliber of books that we're receiving. So glad we did it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I think that that's so encouraging. You know, I like to think we do a lot of book anthologies, and I have found that everyone has a wonderful story to tell that they can bring forward and really make a contribution to the world. So I love the fact that you look at books that all have, as all having value. Some may be more appealing or more value than others, but definitely they all have their place in having value in the person being able to express themselves and tell their story.
Right. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think that that's wonderful. Well, you know, tell me a little bit about what you would love to do, you know, as far as a legacy or a contribution to the world, because you're doing so many different wonderful things. What does that look like in the big picture for you?
Oh, wow. You know, I've done a few of these interviews. I've never had that question before. A legacy. Well, you know, at the end of the day, I think my legacy, without getting too philosophical on this, is really less about what I do, you know, for in my career, and more about my family and you know, how my child sees me and things like that. I really do believe in the golden rule and just trying to be the best person you can be. I think when I was younger, I had, you know, bigger aspirations to, not to be a household name, but to rise in the corporate ranks. And actually, in my corporate career, I really was on the fast track for quite a while. And I actually removed myself from it because I was very lucky. I learned at an early age that money wasn't going to make me happy. It doesn't make me sad, but it wasn't really the thing that really drove me. And so at the end of the day, for me, it's really about family and all of us getting our needs met. And so it would be great that I would have a legacy of, you know, Wise Bear Inc. with, you know, the Wise Bear family of websites and stuff, and people would see me as an expert and advocate for, you know, one of the early pioneers of this digital movement when my grandchildren are up and saying, oh, grandma did that or something like that. But, you know, I'm pretty happy in my life, and I feel like I have a great family and a great kid, and so I feel successful no matter what happens, but sure, I would love for Wise Bear. So that's the nice answer. The practical business answer would be, I think that what will happen as the industry continues to grow, that anybody who has these kind of first mover status are going to have to consolidate some way. And businesses getting together, whether you're absorbed by, you know, the bigger houses that are finally getting their act together and figuring out, oh, digital publishing isn't going away. And I think in order any business, small business as it starts off, you either need to merge, sell, or, you know, find capital resources in order to grow to the next level. And so I'm open to, you know, whatever is next. I have talked to some people, including you, who are all doing fantastic things that are interesting to see how those relationships, you know, can, you know, find their own level and play out. But I do think it's very important that you always have to be in communication with people that are out there doing it, and not necessarily see them as your competitor, but as you know, we're all working toward the same goal, and that is our passion for books, and so I always think there's ways to be creative and work with others. So anyway, we'll see what the future holds, and you know, I'm open.
Yeah, and it's so wonderful. I'm so glad you brought up the whole concept of collaboration, because it's becoming more and more important, I think, all the time to success. The more we expand from a technical standpoint, the more important it is that we, you know, the world gets smaller and smaller, and it's really important that we combine with others our talents and our goals and our successes. So I'm so glad you brought that up. Really, really key. Really
key. Change is always inevitable in anything. You know, in your personal relationships, in your business relationships, it's just going to happen. And so when I see people who are really fighting against this digital paradigm that is going to happen with or without their blessing, it's like, okay, you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can still love printed books. I still love printed books. I think that they're beautiful forms of art. I absolutely do. But digital books are just practical, and there's a lot of reasons, including the environment, why, you know, this is a good way to go. So there's a transition point, but we're reaching that tipping point where, you know, this is in a otherwise bleak economy. Digital publishing is one of the few bright spots, and it's a bright spot for a reason, because there's a need. So You know, it's really, we have to look past our own ourselves and see this is going to happen. You can either choose to get on the train and not fight it, and really, you know, immerse yourself in it, and with still having a passion for the traditions of traditional print publishing, and have a respect for that. Or you can fight against that, but if you do, you may lose yourself, because publishing is changing faster than independent authors can keep up with. The way that we're producing books now on Kindle and Smashwords, that's going to change. And there's no doubt in my mind. I've seen this happen in software development and internet development, and it's going to happen here. So by the time you figure out how to format your book, the books are going to be created in a completely different way. So, you know, I believe books will eventually be digital applications. We're, you know, a ways away from that, but that's where I believe it's going to go, because everything's going mobile.
Yeah, such a good point. So do you have one last tip that you could share with those out there who are you know, really reaching down to get their creativity flowing and get their book done? What would be a great tip to get started on that?
Well, from a fiction standpoint, I found that meditation helps a lot. And I don't mean prayer, I mean meditation. And it doesn't have to be a transcendental $1,500, you know, get your special mantra to start chanting. It means, you know, being quiet with yourself, deep breathing, centering yourself, and letting whatever needs to come to you come forward. It's all within you. And you need to trust yourself in that process to bring it forward. I find that definitely that's an essential element to fiction and nonfiction. It can't hurt. But I also think what I'd said earlier, and the best advice I ever got, was if you can just not edit yourself and get out of your own way, and no matter how scandalous you think whatever you're going to write or how jarring you think it's going to be, it's probably not as bad as you think it is. But you have to just put it out there. And if you edit yourself too soon, you will never create really what it is or create your heart's desire. And
That's really beautiful. That's so beautiful and so expansive. And it's just really an expansive way of viewing things. Thank you so much, Quinn. Now, I know we've just scratched the tip of the iceberg of all the great information in your book and that you provide online, as well as the wonderful book awards. Where's the best place for people to get more information about you and connect with you?
Oh, lots of places I'm on. You can find me anywhere on LinkedIn, Facebook, Goodreads, Pinterest, and that. But the easiest place is wisebearbooks.com, just like it sounds, wisebearbooks. And I can be, you know, contacted through there. I also have Wise Bear Media. And then I have an About Me page that's quinnbarrett.com that has all of my different social media links and stuff like that. So it's not too hard, even if you Google me, that you can find all of my sites pretty easily, because I have a lot of them.
Great. And to find out more about the book awards and all of the great things you're doing, can you give that link one more time, wisebearbooks.com?
wisebearbooks.com/awards. And there's just a drop-down menu. It has all the entry guidelines. There's an online entry form, the categories, anything that you need to know. And if there's anything else you can think of, you can just shoot me an email, and either myself or somebody on our team will get back to you very quickly.
Very good. Thank you so much, Quinn. And for anyone who is interested in Expert Insights Publishing and all the amazing things we do, including our magazines, communities, and books, you can reach us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. Thanks, everyone, and have a wonderful day.